You know, J. Vernon McGee said one time, he said, no child of God has the right to be a cantankerous person. You know any cantankerous people? Do you spend Thursday with any cantankerous people? There was a Peanuts cartoon one time that had Charlie Brown on Thanksgiving Day taking Snoopy his food for the day. And you do know who Charlie Brown and Peanuts are, don't you? Well, Charlie Brown was taking the bowl of food out to Snoopy, and Snoopy looked at it, and Snoopy said to himself, as Snoopy does in Peanuts cartoons, what is this? It's Thanksgiving Day, and here Charlie Brown brings me a bowl of dog food, and everybody else is inside enjoying all of these different wonderful foods. This just isn't fair. He looked down at that dog food again, and he said, well, I guess I could be the turkey. There's always something to be grateful for. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And yet sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we sit and we ponder whether or not our cup is half full or whether or not our cup is half empty. Robert Dawson, in a message called Fuel for a Grateful Heart in Psalm 103, asked the question, have you ever thought to be thankful for dirty dishes? Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a story to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home, health, happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss. By the stack of evidence, God's been very good to us. We turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 this morning. I want to look at two specific verses that I believe are not only a challenge to us, but an encouragement to help us understand how our lives can overflow with gratitude. How your life and my life, rather than looking at things as what we don't have, we can look at what God has done for us and be grateful for His generosity, His kindness, and His mercy in our lives. Now, just a quick bit of background on the book of Colossians. Written probably sometime around AD 60 or 61, the Apostle Paul is imprisoned in Rome. He's never been to the church at Colossae. But he's concerned for them because there is an insipid heresy that is creeping in called Gnosticism, that is denying the deity of Christ and diminishing the person of Jesus. And so when you read Colossians, it contains some of the most lofty language in all of the New Testament about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were to want to summarize the book of Colossians, you could say that the book of Colossians is all about the preeminence and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of this, Paul is writing to the church and he's wanting to encourage them that they have grabbed hold of the truth that Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh. And that because Jesus is preeminent in all things, Jesus is also sufficient for all things. And when we get to chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, notice what Paul says. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and then he says, and overflowing with gratitude. Now, the word overflowing here gives us the idea of abundance. It gives us the idea of excess. It gives us the idea of generosity. In other words, Paul says there should be in the life of the Christian this bubbling up and bubbling over of generosity. And this generosity comes out in the form of gratitude expressed in praise and worship and adoration and living every single day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul gives us this, he says, I want you to be overflowing with gratitude. Now, it's interesting because Paul was a man that said a lot about being thankful. As a matter of fact, when you study the book of Colossians, you'll find that in these chapters, Paul mentions the word thankful or some form thereof, thankfulness or gratitude, six different times. It has been said that the word thanksgiving in one or another of its forms flows from the heart and the pen of the Apostle Paul more than 50 times in his writings in the New Testament, while in all the rest of the New Testament scriptures, it's found 21 times. That means that thankfulness and gratitude to the Apostle Paul was a very, very important thing. Now here's what we're going to find in this passage. Gratitude flows from a heart that is full of the abundance of life that you have in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Gratitude flows from the heart that is full of the abundance of the life that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you're reading this passage, it's very interesting that Paul says in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, let's just stop a moment and talk about what it means. How have we received Jesus Christ our Lord? When you got saved, did you receive Jesus begrudgingly or gladly? Sure you did. But the way that you receive Christ, according to the scripture, is by grace through faith. Am I right? So Paul says, just as you received Jesus by grace through faith with a grateful heart that he saves you, you are also to continue to walk in him. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The word walk there is a word that means to continue moving forward. It's the word that means to keep on walking. It carries with it the idea that you and I are to continue in our life, that the way that we were saved is the way that we are to continue living. So if we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then we are to continue walking in Christ by grace through faith. In other words, your Christian life is not a mere matter of your performance. It's not a mere matter of how well you obey. While obedience gives evidence that we love Christ, the only way that you and I can truly live an obedient life is when we walk in the life that Jesus has given us, the same way as we entered into it. We don't walk merely in obedience. We walk out obedience every single day because we are continuing to walk in the grace and the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting in this passage is that there are four participles that Paul uses in this passage. Notice what they are. He begins in verse 7, having been firmly rooted, I'll get to that in a moment, and now being built up in him, that's another participle, being built up. And then the word, and established in your faith, that is a third participle. But then you get to the last part of the verse, and he says, and overflowing with gratitude. So the fourth participle is the phrase overflowing. It's the word overflowing, and it's identified with gratitude. You are to overflow with gratitude. Now what's interesting about this is that of all of these participles in verse 7, this last one is the only one that is what is in what is known as the active voice. All of the other participles are passive, meaning you are the recipient of the action, and I'll explain that in a moment. But when he comes to the fourth participle, what Paul says is that we respond. Gratitude is a choice that you and I have. You and I choose whether or not we're going to live a life of thankfulness or whether we're going to live a life of gratitude. So whereas the other participles, you're saved, you're rooted in Christ, Christ saves you. You're being built up in Christ. Christ is the one building you up. and you're being established or strengthened in your faith, Christ is the one strengthening you. But the response to all of this in the life of the believer is an overflowing gratitude that you are the one who responds with a heart of gratitude. So I asked the question this morning, how can I have a life that is described the way that Paul describes it in the last phrase of verse 7? How can I be a believer? How can I have a life that overflows, has an excess, has an overwhelming overflow of gratitude that pours out of me every single day? Now, have you ever met an Eeyore person? How many of you like Winnie the Pooh? And you know that Eeyore, if you don't know who Eeyore is the donkey that always sounds like this. Everything is always bad. There's nothing ever good. You know Eeyore people? Are Eeyore people fun to be around? Come on now, are Eeyore people fun to be around? Of course they're not. And Eeyore people are people that don't overflow with gratitude. God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to overflow with gratitude. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. In other words, here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that praise completes the circle in which the blessings that flow to us from God return to him in the form of praise and adoration. So when your heart is overflowing with gratitude for what God has been doing for you and in you, then what happens is there is this supernatural reality that you respond in gratitude and praise to the living God. It's one of the things I really enjoyed about our worship service this morning so far. Man, as we were singing, it was an easy response to just want to praise the Lord because God is good. And he's good all the time, even when we don't understand it. Maybe we should turn in our Bibles to Psalm 23. And I want you to listen to Psalm 23, because most of the time that we hear Psalm 23, we hear it at a funeral service, don't we? But have you ever thought about Psalm 23 as being a psalm of David's gratitude to God? Listen to this psalm afresh when you think of it from a heart overflowing with gratitude. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. There it is. There's that word. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, Psalm 23 is not just a psalm to be used at a sad season, maybe during a funeral. Psalm 23 is an expression of David's gratitude for the goodness and generosity and the grace of God that has been shown to him. And I really think that one of the most contagious things that you and I as Christians can ever have to a lost world is when our hearts are overwhelmed with gratitude. And the gratitude that others see in us is an expression of joy and adoration and praise for the Lord, listen to this, that is exemplified in the gratitude that we express to other people in our lives. You know, two words that make a big difference in somebody's life. Thank you. Thank you should come from our lips out of the reservoir of a heart that is indeed grateful for not only what God has done, but for what others have done for us as well. You know, this is a good opportunity for me just to thank you. I want to tell you, you have been so good to my family since we moved here. You have made us feel so welcome, and I want to say to you, I've tried to write cards and thank people, and if I missed you in any way, forgive me for my oversight, but I just, from Vicki and I want to say two words, thank you. Thank you. I hope that you turned to your wife or your mother or whoever it was that fixed your meal this week and said to them, thank you. I hope you didn't make her clean up the dishes either. So how do we have this gratitude? How do we overflow with this sense of being thankful for what God has been doing for us? Well, Paul gives us an answer to that in verse 7. He says, as you have been receiving Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How? Having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him and established in your faith. So gratitude overflows when you recognize three things. First of all, that he is the source for salvation. He is the source for our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. And in chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, what Paul says in verse 7 is very clear. You have been firmly rooted in Christ. Now, Paul uses the idea of a tree that is firmly rooted. Now, you probably know what a tumbleweed is, and a tumbleweed is very susceptible to the wind. Why? Because tumbleweeds only put down one root, and that root is very shallow. But if you compare that to what a tree does, say an oak tree or a sequoia or some other great mammoth tree, you find that their roots not only dig deep, but their roots crisscross with other roots and they hold together strong. And the Bible says that you and I have reason to have a heart overflowing with gratitude because the source of our salvation is rooted in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that one day when I get to heaven, listen to this, and I stand before a holy God and he looks to see whether or not that my name is written in his book, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, that he's not going to then look at me and say, well, Daryl, can you give to me a reason why you have earned the right to enter into my kingdom? I'm glad that God's not going to look at my faults and failures and my obedience and my lack of obedience and compare them to see if the scales weigh out as to whether or not I'm going to be able to be good enough to earn the right into heaven. Because you see, the source of my salvation is not my obedience. The source of my salvation is not my goodness. The source of my salvation is not Daryl Kraft. The source of my salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me and was buried and rose again that we might have everlasting life. I'm telling you, there is reason to rejoice that Jesus is the source of our salvation and not ourselves. You know, if you and I would keep that thought in our mind, I think there's frustrated Christians who, rather than allowing the gospel of grace to give them gratitude, they believe somehow in a gospel of works that makes them grumble because in their spirit they never feel that they can measure up. Please listen to me. If you're here today and you're performing religious works, continuing to try to live out a religious life, and you're not satisfied, I'll tell you why you're not satisfied. Is the only satisfaction that you'll ever find is when you come to the source of salvation and say, I cannot, but Christ already did. Gratitude flows from a heart that is overwhelmed and filled by living out of the abundance of the life that you have in Christ. And the only way that you have life in Jesus is when you come to Him as the very source of life, and He is the source of your salvation. Not only does Paul say it like this, he says, having been firmly rooted. Now remember that this is a passive participle. Whenever we have a passive participle, it means that you are the object, the recipient of the action. That's why it's so critical to understand that there are three participles that are passive in nature, and there is only one that is active in nature, which means we act out of that thing. That is, we are grateful. We are the ones that express gratitude. Why? Because we have received the action of Christ in us in salvation. We have gratitude because He is the source of our salvation. The second thing we find is found in this next participle. Notice what he says. Not only having been firmly rooted, but now being built up in Him. Gratitude overflows when you recognize that He is not only the source of your salvation, but He is also the security in salvation. One scholar put it like this: as we walk in Christ, we are being built up. This means the process of being more and more like Jesus. It means what Acts 20:32 says, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's what I've already preached about in 2 Peter 3:18 last Sunday evening. They will come to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see, what Jesus has done for us is that the saving life of Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection is only the beginning for us. But when you become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you give your life to Him and you've been born again by grace through faith in Jesus, that is the foundation for the rest of eternity. But the Bible says that not only is He the source of our salvation, but He is also the security of our salvation. I'm glad that there's not one single thing that I can do and you can do that will cause me to lose my salvation. If my salvation was dependent upon my life, I would be lost about every other day, wouldn't you? But I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that I am being, listen to what Paul says, not only have I received salvation from Christ, but I am now being built up. It is a past action that has present impact with ongoing reality. And what Paul is saying to the church in Colossae is this: listen, as you received Him by grace through faith, you're now continuing to be built up in Him, because the security of your relationship with Jesus does not depend upon you. It depends on Him. I'm glad that those whom He has put in the Son's hand, the Bible says that Jesus said, nobody can take out of My hand whom the Father has given Me. Now, I realize that as Baptists, we often talk about the security of salvation, the fact once saved, always saved. And then we get into these precarious situations where people walk away from the faith, or they act like they had no faith. And we question, were they saved? Were they not saved? I don't know. God knows. What I know is this: I have reason every single day of my life. There's a lot of uncertainty in this world, isn't there? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know whether someone we love is going to pass, or some doctor is going to call, or maybe the boss is going to call us in and say, I'm sorry, but you don't have a job anymore. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. But our security, listen to me, our security does not lie in our ability to control the circumstances around us. But what our security is in is not in what happens, but it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said to the Colossians, I want there to be this excess abundance of gratitude that flows out of you in worship and praise and adoration. Where does it come from? Does it come because everything's always just like you want it to be? No. I'm sure that there are 50% of the people here this morning that wish yesterday some of the ball games turned out differently than they did. Everything doesn't always happen the way that we want them to. I don't know anybody dancing around right now going, man, I am so excited. November was a horrible month in the stock market. So where does gratitude come? It comes when you and I get up every single morning and we can say, I know that I'm saved. And I know that the security of my life is in the hands of the one who saved me. And that I am being built up. Listen, I was made not for this world, but for another world. I'm like Abraham. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And so while I live on this earth, I'm living by grace through faith every single day, just like I was saved. And now that I've been living by grace through faith, my security every single day is not in the situations around me or the circumstances that happen to me, but my security is in the reality that I know that I am being built up in Jesus Christ. I not only belong to Him, but I am with Him and He is with me. That's where gratitude comes from. But then he gives us the third participle. Notice what he says in verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him as established in your faith. The third participle reminds us that gratitude flows when you and I recognize not only that Jesus is the source of our salvation, and secondly, that Jesus is the security for our salvation, but third, that Jesus is the strength of our salvation. Now, the word established means to make firm. Being firmly rooted in Christ and growing in Him results in believers being established in their faith. Now notice something very interesting that Paul does. He begins with the first participle by giving us a visual imagery of a tree that is deeply rooted in soil. Then he gives us a second visual image with the second participle by talking about the way that a building is being constructed and being built up. But then when he comes to this third participle, there is not that imagery. It's just simply the pronouncement of a principle of truth that is real and helpful to every single one of us. And that is this, that just as we're being rooted and built, we are being established in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that we have a firm foundation for faith that is based on walking in Jesus Christ. So as you have received Him, so also walk in Him. I'm receiving Him by grace through faith. I'm walking with Him by grace through faith. And in doing so, I am digging deeper, and the foundation of my life is stronger than it has ever been before. David Jeremiah made this statement. The Bible tells us that whenever we come before God, whatever our purpose or prayer request, we always come with a thankful heart. Somebody that didn't have too good a perspective on life said, If you want to find gratitude, look it up in a dictionary. I think that if you want to find gratitude, you ought to look at God's people in the church. If you want to find gratitude, the world around us is always saying, you need something else to make you happy. You need this makeup. It makes you look pretty. You need this car. It makes you look successful. You need these clothes. It makes you look current. The world is always trying to tell people that their heart happiness is dependent on the way they look, the way they feel, the way that others perceive them. But what Paul is reminding us is that when we overflow with gratitude, it's because we understand whose we are and who we are in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It's important to remember that the scripture does not tell us to be thankful for everything, but in everything give thanks. Somebody may ask the question, how can we thank God for tragedies, crisis, and problems? We don't thank God for problems. We are to thank Him for His presence and His power and His purposes in those times. Turn to chapter 3, and I want to show you a couple of verses in Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 15, here's what Paul says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, with spiritual songs, singing with what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. Why does Paul keep saying this? Go back to chapter 1. I want to show you two verses. Chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul says, listen, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so keep walking in Him. And as you keep walking in Him, remember that you have been rooted in Christ, you're being built up in Christ, you are established in your faith in Christ. And so a result of all of this is the overflowing, overwhelming abundance of a grateful heart that worships. See, worship that flows from a heart of gratitude spreads every day to everyone around you. It's interesting. James Seward of Hull, England, was once described as a professional beggar. As a matter of fact, James had tattooed on his hands the words, "Thank you." And so literally, he would stand and he would simply hold out his hands so that people could look at his hands and see the words, thank you. I know that not everyone is comfortable holding their hands up in worship. That's a biblical way that people hold their hands up, an expression of praise to God. But sometimes we ought to hold our hands like this out to the Lord. And maybe just in our hearts and our minds, what we really ought to have imprinted on our mind is what James Seward had imprinted in tattoos on his hands, the words, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to work in my life, for not leaving me as I was, but making me who I am. I remember years ago, I had a friend who was a firefighter here in Huntsville, and he was one of the deacons in our church out in Capshaw, and he was a big, burly guy. And from what I understand, before he got saved, he was kind of a hardcore, mean-hearted individual. But when he got saved, here was a guy who never cried, but all of a sudden, every time he turned around, he'd cry. And we'd get to talking about the Lord. We'd get to praying together. And all of a sudden, big tears would begin to flow down his face. He'd say, "Daryl, I don't know why God left me the way that I am, but he changed me. And I used to never cry, but now I cry all the time." Aren't you glad God's building you up in Christ? And aren't you glad that no matter how much this world rakes and rolls and shakes and totters and tumbles, that the ultimate reality is that your life is planted firmly in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where does your gratitude come from? It comes from Him. It comes from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who saves you, who is saving you, and is one day coming again to take you home. Would you bow your heads this morning? This morning you're here today and you say, "Daryl, I've been really resting in my own goodness. I've been thinking, you know, I go to church, I give, I'm nice to people. I try to do all these right things, and I realize this morning I can't save myself." Maybe you're here and you say, "I've been trying to save myself. But today you come under the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and you realize I've never repented and put my faith in Jesus." In a moment when we give the invitation, I'm going to ask you to come and say, "I'd like to give my life to Jesus and let Him be the source of my salvation." In a moment, maybe you as a Christian just need to come to this altar and say, "Lord, I've not been grateful. I've not been as grateful for my salvation as I need to be." Or maybe just where you are, God's speaking to you and saying that you need to bow before Him and express gratitude for the others that are in your life. In a moment when we stand, I want to invite you to respond as the Holy Spirit of God is leading you to respond. Lord Jesus, this morning, we want to be grateful people. Lord, we don't want to be ones who take things for granted or think that there's something that we deserve. Lord, we want to say to you today that we are thankful. And Lord, we want to be the people that when the world is struggling, when the world is negative, when the world is trying to find things to make them happy, when the world thinks something else will give them a heart of happiness, that Lord, they will look and see that we overflow with gratitude because we are overwhelmed by what you've done for us. And Lord Jesus, this morning I pray that your Holy Spirit will have your way in our hearts.